My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
We are talking about the Browns game on Sunday. Browns versus Eagles. We'll get to game five again, which will be in Cleveland tomorrow, 1:08 first pitch. If you haven't heard, they've moved it up due to weather. We'll get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But you and I were just debating whether or not Deshaun is playing for his job this week. And circumstantially, there are a lot of things going in the favor of doing that if you were going to do it this Monday, as opposed to getting in the middle of this three-game homestand and doing it. That being said, you and I are in pretty much agreement here that that contract is probably going to preclude you from doing it. And when Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys earlier this week, she started, she had a couple of really great points just in general about the state of this situation. But very similarly, she talked about the importance of keeping to play Deshaun and maybe lowering the bar a little bit in terms of your expectation of what you can get out of him.
Well, what did you think after the Raiders game? Did you think that he was somewhat functional in the Raiders game? Because I watched that game, I watched it over, and I felt that he was functional and actually made some decent plays in that game and looked better than he had in many other games that I've seen him play there. And I thought that gave them a little bit of hope. So what if they can get that guy back? What if they can find ways to see if Deshaun Watson can play, let's just say, decent football for now, not great football, but let's say Raiders football. If they can get him to that point, then maybe you have something to work with. Maybe you have something to build on. If you say right now, one game after that, one bad game after a good game, that he's absolutely 100% finished, you're making a big, big decision there, because that's something that you have to be sure about if you're going to give up on your $230 million three first-round quarterback right now.
I think the concept of decent Deshaun Watson and what decent Deshaun Watson would do for the Browns, given the noise around this, I think is a fascinating concept for the Cleveland Browns.
You know, I think when I do the math, and you can fact check this, you know, I think that Baker Mayfield played in almost 70 games with the Cleveland Browns, right? 60 some odd games. It took you 60-some-odd games in a Cleveland Browns uniform to decide that he was not the guy. So, if you're Jimmy Haslam and you theoretically, the coaching staff says, hey, I would like to sit Deshaun Watson. We're going to role play here and see if we can figure this out.
If you tell me I have to sit through 60 games of this, I think you and I will meet in Temecula.
Right. Okay. So if Jimmy Haslam says, all right, Deshaun has played how many games? Is it what?
I think this will be 18.
So 18. So tell me why it took us 60, 70 games to figure out about Baker, but it only took us 18 to figure out about Deshaun. Sell me on that.
It's actually pretty simple. You drafted one guy, and this guy you didn't draft. You got a finished product, or so you thought. You got a finished product.
Okay.
And like, entrance point is pretty significant in this.
Okay. So, all right. So you need.
You're pretty much spotted 30 games as a rookie, would you say? About 34 games, two seasons roughly?
Mm-hmm.
So that takes about half of it. And then you figure this coordinator changed, that head coach changed, this coordinator changed. I mean, I still think it was ridiculous. We were doing you need to figure out what you have in Baker Mayfield when he was hurt. Mm-hmm. But I hear what you're saying.
So and then Haslam would say, okay, well, look, all right, well, yeah, he did sit out a whole year. Then he was suspended and couldn't be in the building. So that's basically 2 years he didn't play, right? And then last year he was hurt. Like, I'm paying the guy $230 million. Not only am I paying the guy $230, I'm giving them upfront checks so we can restructure so we can pay other people. I'm giving them some money. Like, We still got a boatload of money to pay him on the back end. So my thing is, all right, if do you think that the backup quarterback is going to be significantly better than what he's doing? If the answer is no, then I would, if I'm the person paying that check, I'm going to be like, no, we go figure this out. Like, I'm not going to pivot. And because here's the thing, I hope people realize, when you pivot, you are basically signaling to the rest of your roster that you have punted. You've punted. This is you. All offseason, you've told us this was the guy we were riding with. This is we were a Super Bowl contending team. So now in five games, you're telling us that you have such a gross miscalculation that you have to scrap it and go after five games. Then I'm questioning whether you're competent, because you made the assessment that this was what it was going to be. I just don't think at this point, theoretically, they're not going to let them make that decision, even if it was one of them.
Can you win with decent Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Your voice shifted a lot there.
You went all
the way up there. You got falsetto on me.
Decent Deshaun Watson. Decent Deshaun Watson, if you don't have a penalty, he has a game-winning touchdown throw of 80-something yards to Amari Cooper.
Yeah, right? I mean, if Vegas is decent, that's a 240-some yard performance with two touchdowns. I would imagine that's a little bit more than decent, but I digress.
You can win with that type of performance, but you can't win if you have holding and people dropping the ball and guys not tackling, all that good stuff. Does that make fans feel comfortable to say that they can win with decent Deshaun Watson? No.
No, because it's not going to be the guy you traded for.
And that's not who you traded for. In the room for error with decent Deshaun Watson is minimal. It's non-existent. You have to play everybody. The defense has to be back elite. Stefanski has to scheme it up every week. And they can't hurt themselves. They have to be one of the most smartest, disciplined teams in the league. And right now, that's so far from the truth.
I'll actually push back. I think you can be competitive consistently with decent Deshaun Watson. But you're not going to win consistently until the defense fixes their obvious flaws in the ways they get picked apart. Until the offensive line figures out which run fits they actually can run. Until you can do things like put motion back into this offense, which again, like you want to talk about the correlation between explosive plays in the NFL and motion. You're not running motion. You're also not having explosive plays. Methinks there's a correlation. The running game, like all these things, like this is where, again, Deshaun has not played well enough, and you're not going to get an argument out of me. I thought the Raiders game was great. I wanted the Commanders game to be the next step in that. No, it was a gross step back. So,
let me ask you this. Would you have a qualm if he plays bad next week if they did bench him?
I don't know. Because here's the thing. I think we're seeing this all wrong. And not be the goal should be to win.
Right.
So I hate to be this guy that says this. The worst case scenario this season is not going 3-14. It's not. It's going 8-9 or 7-10 and not having any direction at quarterback.
Or not knowing what's the weakest link.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kev's calling plays. I don't know if Deshaun is still good. I don't know if we're running the wrong stuff. At 7-9 is too mediocre to point blame at one person, and you're back in the same square. You're just back in the same at square one next year doing the same things.
And, okay, maybe Deshaun's not on the roster, or maybe Deshaun is inactive like his year in Houston, and you just kind of bring him along. He works out with you. It's a practice squad situation or the scout team like they did in Houston.
Oh, man.
But you kind of avoid the ridiculous cap hit at least for one more year. The problem is 8-9 didn't get you any closer to another quarterback.
At all.
Because you don't have cap space to go get a veteran. So you're either going to bring in, I don't know, maybe try and bring back Joe Flacco at then 40, or if you're 8-9, are you going to trade up for a quarterback? Because then we're talking about trading another 3 first round picks to get that quarterback with a roster that then for a decade would have been without a first rounder for more than half a decade.
And you see why Kevin Stefanski cannot survive that level. Like you're talking about, and by the way, Like, I mean, you're talking about Myles Garrett potentially being like, listen, I've been here all these years. We've not – get me up out of here.
You know what, though? Can I just say, because I've heard this a lot, I'm a little sick of the weaponizing of Myles Garrett, because quite frankly, you know, part of the ideology on moving on from Baker is, oh, Baker and Myles, their relationship isn't good. So if 3 years later, oh, Myles and Deshaun, their relationship isn't good – I'm sorry, Miles. You're part of this mess. And again, I'm not trying to put it all on Miles, but I'm saying, like, these are the kind of, like, earworms that we've placed into each other, and I think the Browns do it too. Oh, gosh, we don't want to upset Miles. We got to try and help him win as much as possible. Yes, you do. That doesn't absolve you from making smart decisions or, excuse, making desperate decisions.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Decisions consistently.
Well, listen, here's, I'll say this. The reason why, to me, that's a valid point is because when you miss, and this was an attempt to cover up for the first miss. When you missed on Baker, you had an opportunity to draft Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. You didn't get one of those. Look where those teams are. I understand that you pivoted in the middle and said, okay, we got this great roster. We can't afford to punt on this roster. What can we do? Oh, there's this franchise quarterback that has been traditionally great. He's here. Let's go after him. Now, to me, the move they made, whether it works out or not, was the correct move. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. The only thing, there's a small overlap of time.
Okay.
Where the Browns convinced themselves that they were desperate. Desperate to not pay Baker. Desperate to move on from Baker to find the adult in the room. And because they were desperate to do that, there was only one move they could sell everybody on. It wasn't drafting a new quarterback. It wasn't trading for Jared Goff. It wasn't trading for – no. You had to have a clear upgrade.
Yes.
A consistent entity that you could plug into. So the problem is when you release the report that said – or whomever released the report that said the Browns had told Baker we need an adult in the room, which is bad paraphrasing by me. But yeah. That report severed that relationship. I'm not telling you that it was going to be easy to fix it. But we're adults here. This is an adult-driven business. I don't give a damn if you like Baker. I don't give a damn if he pissed you off. You gave him the latitude to play. You could have sat his ass.
Mm-hmm.
But this continues to be, well, it's Baker's decisions, Baker's decisions. So you don't get credit for giving Baker enough rope to hang himself. The fact that actually happened. You don't get credit for, we're desperate now, so we're going to turn around and give $230 million to 25 lawsuits, and a guy who hadn't played football by the time he got on the field for 700 days.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think in a vacuum, would 32 teams out of 32 teams rather at that time Deshaun than Baker? Yes. But I think that's because Baker helped as well. There were two hands on the steering wheel of driving Baker's stock into the ground. And then there were three hands on the wheel saying, well, there's only one play we can do here. So I'm not trying to do the kind of in revisionist history here thing, but I do think, like, this is another point where we just let the Browns off the hook and said, Baker's an ass clown, let's move on. Well, When you talk yourself into desperation and acting desperate when you're a year removed from a playoff win with a guy, this is where you get.
When you say, people say, well, why won't Jimmy Haslam let bench him and get rid of him? Because for everything you just said, maybe Jimmy Haslam's like, you know, I got second thoughts about listening to you pretty much usher Baker out the game. Right.
And here's the other thing. Sometimes you got to sit in your filth to learn your lessons. Sometimes you know, there is no easy button, and the quicker you learn that in the NFL, whether that's Jimmy, whether that's AB, whether that's Kevin Stefanski, there is no easy out button. And this contract is holding your feet to the fire. Tough. Because who it's killing is Browns fans. It's not killing you guys. You're just wasting our time. You're wasting Miles' time.
You got kids, right? At certain points of time, kids are finicky about what they eat. At some point, after you've made such, you know, you've been trying to make sure that they want to eat this, and you made a lot of concessions. At some point, you just say, "No, you're going to eat that. That's all we got. You'll get hungry soon enough. You won't starve yourself. You'll eat those vegetables right there because that's the only thing we get, right?" And sooner or later, they come around and say, "Man, you know what? McDonald's ain't coming today. Dad looked like he put his foot down. Right now, ain't nobody here to save you. You got to fix it. You got to make it work. If it's your offense, it's your quarterback, to a certain extent, make it work.
And it's your money." 216-474-0092. Can you win with a decent Deshaun Watson? We're going to get on that. We got a couple calls here. Peter, Josh, you guys next here. But again, can you win with a decent Deshaun Watson? That and what I will say, the great sleight of hand that favors the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.